Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to you all. And welcome back, Paul.
Before we get started, Larry,
Yes.
I'm taking the privilege as a retired pastor of this congregation to tell a story. There was once this pastor who was really having trouble getting a call. And one morning he told the congregation, I've got a call. And they spontaneously stood up and sang, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Well, the opposite thing has happened here. About 10 days ago, Larry celebrated the first anniversary of being here. So I think we need to sing that song for him in a different atmosphere.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures hear me.
Catch my breath. The announcements are in the bulletin. Today is not Rally Sunday, as one of the bulletins said. That was last week. But today we welcome Bill Hawley, who's going to speak to us and preach the sermon. Also, after the service, if you go downstairs, Sue's going to show the pictures of Sicily. So you'll get to see where we were. And then the other announcements, according to one of my schedules, and I've got to double check this, I'm supposed to have the service at Amy Holt again today. So I'm not sure. I'll check it out. I'll probably end up going over and finding out. It could be somebody else, but according to the schedule they gave me, I am. Put October 13th on your calendar. That's the Sunday that United Union Congregational Church is celebrating 135 years. And we've decided that we will meet with them and add to their congregation that morning like they did on our anniversary. So please keep that in mind. Are there other announcements?
There's lunch.
Oh, and there is lunch after that service on the 13th. So go and get fed.
So what's meant by carrying lunch?
What?
What's meant by a carrying lunch?
Yeah.
Are we supposed to bring something?
No. No. I'm not sure what the carrying part is on there.
Okay, there's no bell practice or choir practice this Wednesday.
Okay. Everybody's got a vacation Wednesday. Except confirmation students. Sorry, guys. And girls. Okay, if there are no other announcements, let's begin our worship. Let's stand and turn to the confession, which is found on your bulletin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God of all mercies and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Amen.
Let all mortal flesh keep silent, but don't you keep silent. Sing out.
Of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God,
And for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Worthy is Christ the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Power, riches, wisdom, and strength, and honor, blessing, and glory are His. This is the feast of victory for our God. Forces of evil, so by your direction they may help and defend us here on earth through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, whom we worship and praise with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading for St. Michael and All Angels Sunday is from the 10th chapter of Daniel. Daniel trembles in the presence of an angel. The angel tells the prophet about the good and terrible future, when the dead will be resurrected and the archangel Michael will usher in the deliverance of the nation. A hand touched me and roused me to my hands and knees. He said to me, "Daniel, greatly beloved, pay Pay attention to the words that I am going to speak to you. Stand on your feet, for I have now been sent to you. For while he was speaking this word to me, I stood up trembling. He said to me, "Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words." But the prince of the king of Persia opposed me 21 days. So Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I left him there with the prince of the kingdom of Persia. And I've come to help you understand what is to happen to your people at the end of days. For there is a further vision for those days. At that time, Michael, the great prince, the protector of your people, shall arise. There shall be a time of anguish such as has never occurred since nations first came into existence. But at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
We will now read Psalm 103 responsibly. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all God's benefits.
Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases.
Who redeems your life from the grave and crowns you with steadfast love and mercy.
Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like an eagle's.
Bless the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who do God's bidding, who obey the voice of God's word.
Bless the Lord, all you hosts of God, you servants who do God's will.
Bless the Lord, all you servants of God, in all places where God rules. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
The second reading is from the 12th chapter of Revelation. Armed with the power of God, Michael and the angels of God fight those armed with the power of evil, the devil, and the devil's angels. The blood of the Lamb, our crucified Lord Jesus, gives Michael the power to force the devil from a place in heaven. War broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon and his angels fought back, but they were defeated, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. The great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven proclaiming, Now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God, and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our comrades has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. But they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. For they did not cling to life even in the face of death. Rejoice then, you heavens and those who dwell in them, but woe to the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you with great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
For this morning comes from St. Luke chapter 10, verses 17 through 20. The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us." He said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I would invite the children to come forward for a children's message this morning. For young people.
Yeah. All right, he's coming.
Thank you, James.
Yep.
So, raise of hands, how many of you know how to swim? All right, everybody. All right, cool, excellent. So, I want you to imagine for a moment that you're up at Ty Hack Lake in the summertime, right? And you're walking along the shore, and you look out into Ty Hack about 20 yards out, and here's this person, and all you see are arms kind of splashing, and the head bobs up out of the water. What are you thinking? What's going on? They don't know how to swim. They might be drowning, right? So all of a sudden you see the head pop up and you see someone gasping for air. And then they go back down under the water. What would you do? 20 yards out. Suddenly it comes back up and you realize it's this 6'8" man. Bigger than Pastor John. He's huge. And then he goes back under the water. What would you do?
Help him. He's way too big. He's way too far.
So you're a pretty good swimmer?
Not really.
But he's a really big guy?
Yeah.
Right? James, what would you do? What do you think? Would any of you think about swimming out to try to help this guy? Because you're too small, right? You might be a pretty good swimmer, but you're not that good. Lucky for you, you look up the shore, and here is Caleb Cahoon. Who? None of you know Caleb? Do any of you know the Cahoon family? Oh, well, they're expert swimmers. And very strong. Caleb swam in college, and you know this about him, so what might you do? Because you know, Caleb is a really, really good swimmer. In fact, he's a lifeguard. He's a lifeguard. So what might you do? Yeah, hey, Caleb, look! That guy out there! He needs your help! And then Caleb, you watch, he swims out, he grabs the guy, and you know, they have that special technique where they put him kind of up on the chest, and he gets him back to shore, he gets him on shore, and he pumps the water out, and the guy starts breathing. Do you know what you just did? You saved his life, didn't you? Did you go out and swim out in the water and save his life?
No.
No, but you knew someone who had the skills and the ability to swim out into that water and save someone's life. Sometimes God calls us to be his hand or his hands. In fact, we have this phrase in our church, don't we, adults? What's that phrase that we have in our church? God's work, our hands. And sometimes God's work for us in our hands is to notice when someone's struggling and to reach out and help them. And sometimes that's just, hey, you know what? I'm your friend, Graham, and you seem kind of sad today. I'm just going to sit with you for a while. It could be that, right? And sometimes that's all that we need when we're having a not-so-good day, is for someone to simply say, I'm here, I care, and I'll listen to you. Right? Because it feels pretty good when someone cares enough about us to take time and notice that we're not doing so good, and to say, I love you. Can you all do that? I know you can. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for these young people young people of every age gathered in this place today. We thank you, Lord, that you give us the skills and the ability to be your hands on this earth, to reach out and to help people who maybe aren't having such a good day. We ask that you would send your Holy Spirit upon each of us to empower us and embolden us to do your work as your hands on this earth. In all these things, we pray in the name of Jesus, our rescuer. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, guys. Manny, go back and be seated, unless you want to preach the sermon, Jeremiah. No. Not yet. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The scripture that I'd like to share with you this morning is not our gospel, but from the Gospel of Matthew, the third chapter. Should sound familiar. This was when Jesus found himself in some water. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan River to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, alighting on him. And a voice came down from heaven and said, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." John baptized Jesus in the River Jordan, and we hear God the Father proclaim, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased. This is my Son, the Savior of the nations, baptized as a human being, baptized and blessed by the Spirit of the living God. This is my Son, whom I sent into the world, not to condemn the world, but to save the world." Jesus is grace. Jesus is grace personified. He is our grace, our rescuer. Allow me this morning to share this true story with you. It was a beautiful Sunday morning in August of 2002. Three men who were longtime camping and hiking companions sat out on a 3.5-mile hike up in Glacier National Park, which we just recently visited not too long ago, and it is beautiful. They were hiking up to Iceberg Lake, and about an hour into their hike, the men encountered a family of five on the trail. There was a man, his wife, their 9-year-old daughter, 8-year-old son, and 1-year-old daughter who was in a baby backpack on Dad's back. The men exchanged a few words with the family, and then they hiked further down the trail. A short time later, they stopped on a hilly perch overlooking the beautiful creek and the lovely Ptarmigan Falls. They decided that this would be the perfect spot for a picnic. So they took off their day packs, sat down, and began to prepare lunch. That's when it happened. The men heard a scream and looked, and they saw the 8-year-old boy on his back, floating down the creek, rushing right towards the waterfall. Well, with the falls about 50 yards ahead of the boy, the father, of course, made the natural decision that every father would, and he jumped into the creek to rescue his son. In doing so, however, he brought a third person into danger, and that was his infant daughter in the backpack. Quickly, the three men got to their feet. They ran to the creek. They positioned themselves far enough in front of the boy. They formed a human chain across the creek, and they were able to maintain their footing enough to grab the boy. They then passed him along, one to each other, to his mother, happy on the bank. They were able to do the same thing for the father and his infant daughter in the backpack. I think we would all agree that those three men most certainly saved that father and his son and his daughter from certain death. Good luck. Coincidence, you say? Being in the right place at the right time? For me, without question, God was at work rescuing that family. And I think you too will agree when I tell you this, that those three rescuers were in fact three Catholic priests. True story. These priests had celebrated Mass in the park the night before, and that enabled them to be out hiking on that Sunday morning, where God could use them as his hands to rescue his dearly loved children. Wouldn't you all agree that this is a great story? A great story of rescue? I'm wondering, as children of God, also baptized and blessed by his Holy Spirit, have you had the opportunity to be the hand of God? Have you had the opportunity to reach out to rescue someone in a river? Maybe not a raging river with a waterfall at the end, but perhaps rescuing someone from a river of hopelessness, helplessness, loneliness, a river of suicide. Most of you, if not all of you, know that a big part of what I do in Wyoming relates to suicide prevention. And September is Suicide Prevention Month. We are still in September, as far as my calendar reads. And that's what I'd like to talk to you about this morning. In suicide prevention, we often use this picture or analogy of a river to talk and educate about suicide. First, as tragic and as painful as it is, we need to acknowledge and talk about that this river of suicide exists in our community, here in Buffalo. The last 2 months, we've experienced 4 deaths by suicide in this little community of Buffalo and in Johnson County. It exists in this community that we call the great state of Wyoming. And it exists in our country, the greatest country on earth. In 2017, that's when the most recent official data has come out. In 2017, in our country, 47,173 of our citizens, our brothers and sisters, our moms, our dads, our sons, our daughters, our friends, our colleagues, our co-workers, 47,173 died by suicide. Think about this for a moment. That's 130 people today and every day in our country dying by suicide. In 2017, here in Wyoming, 157 of our friends and family members died by suicide. You can do the math as easily as I can. That's someone every other day in our state dying by suicide. Think about this for just a minute. Talking about this river of suicide, I think we can all agree, is difficult. I can see your faces. You can see mine. It's not an easy thing to do because there's this stigma that surrounds this thing that we call suicide, this special form of tragic death. And often we're afraid that if we talk about suicide, we're in danger of opening up some, and this is what I always think when I talk about suicide, is that we're afraid that we'll open some deep and emotional wounds, and sometimes that does absolutely happen because each of us knows of someone, either very close in our family, or a friend, or a family member, or a colleague, or a loved one who's died by suicide. We all do. That's the unfortunate reality. And it's just like we all gathered here this morning know of someone who's died by cancer, haven't we? Yes? Okay, just a little check-in. Suicide is personal. But I need to let you know this morning. Just like, Loretta, I'm going to pick on you for a second, because I love you. We all know that Loretta has battled cancer a few times. Yes, Loretta?
4.
4 times, and she is still with us. Was that an easy battle? No. Did it take work and doctors and medicine and therapy?
And faith.
And faith. To defeat that cancer? And a prayer that it doesn't come back? Absolutely. And so here's, and we can talk about this, and I'm sorry if I made you feel a little uncomfortable, but we can talk about Loretta's battle with cancer, so we should be able to talk about my battle with bipolar depression in the same way. Or your battle with anxiety. Or your battle with fill in the blank of whatever the mental health concern is. In the same way. So it's not really all that uncomfortable in 2019 to talk about cancer. My mom's a cancer survivor as well. How many cancer survivors do we have in here today? Yeah. And we celebrate that, don't we? And so as tragic as suicide is, and as difficult as it is to talk about things of the mind, of the brain, mental health, we have to do that, folks. It's time that we do that. Because just as cancer is diagnosable, treatable with medicine and therapy and rehab and all those things, so are mental health concerns. They're no different. And the biggest myth about suicide is this, that if you and I talk about it, it's going to put the idea into someone's head, like a magic seed planted in there. There is zero data and zero research that would support that myth. In fact, the data and the research that scientists do, people a whole lot smarter than me and you, they would say this, that when you and I are willing to have open and honest conversations about suicide and about mental health, the same way we've just had an open and honest conversation about cancer, that helps people to not feel alone, to not feel isolated, to not feel like they're weak because they deal with depression on a daily basis. And so this thing that we call stigma is real. By having open and honest conversations, we just might be able to reach out and make a difference for someone who might slip into this river that we call the river of suicide. Here's the thing. This organ that's inside our skull, we call it the brain. We have this organ here in our chest, we call it the heart. We have these organs here behind our ribs called our lungs. They're all organs. Right? And sometimes those organs in our body get sick. Whether it's cancer or heart disease or lung disease or COPD, fill in the blank. And so again, just as Loretta's cancer has been diagnosable, treatable, and recoverable, so are the concerns about mental health. The illnesses of the brain, they too are diagnosable, treatable, and recoverable. I'm living proof. So are some of you living proof. I've lost my place, if you couldn't tell. So suicide, for you and I, as creatures of a living God, suicide is a counterintuitive thought. It is counterintuitive because you and I believe that God has created us how? In His own image. And that we are created, every cell in our body is created to live and thrive, to serve and survive. And so this counterintuitive notion for someone who's feeling suicidal, for someone who is considering taking their own life, I like to think about it this way, and certainly this is how it's felt for me, is that there's this tug of war going inside my body. There's this part of me that wants to die. There's this part of me that is in so much invisible pain, so much excruciating difficulty with the stressors of life and everything else. There's this part of me in this tug of war that thinks death is painless. Death would be a solution. And yet, at the same time, there's this part of me way over here, this part of me that begins with the letter H, and it's not Holly, it's hope. that even though in my depression and my anguish and the stuff of life, even though my depression, that is a liar, says, shove that deep down into that pit so that that spark of hope can't be felt or seen, there is that spark, there is that hope there. And so people who feel suicidal often feel and experience this tug of war. Part of me wants to die because my life sucks that much. It's up to you and I, as God's hands on this earth, to notice and to reach out and say, I see you struggling. I want you to live. Let's sit down. Let's talk about this for a while. All of you are familiar with this beautiful bridge out in San Francisco Bay. It's called the Golden Gate Bridge. Yes? Okay. You're also probably very familiar that this Golden Gate Bridge has experienced thousands of people who have taken their lives by jumping off the Golden Gate Bridge. You're familiar with that as well. Some very smart people did a study of almost 20 individuals who survived their jump off the Golden Gate Bridge. And they asked them this question. When your feet left the bridge, what's the first thing that you remember thinking? And all 20 said this. Two answers. Really the same answer. They said, I don't want to die, I want to live. That side of them, that part of them that wanted to die to end their pain, their invisible pain, made this awful, tragic decision. Right? And as soon as their feet left the bridge, as Kevin Hines, one of those survivors, says in his documentary, The Ripple Effect, I had instant regret. Instant regret. Because suicide is counterintuitive. It goes against everything that we know and everything that we believe as Christians, as God's children. And Kevin Hines goes on to say and share in his movie, when he was wheeled into the emergency room, there's this great part of the film where the ER nurse says, I heard him yelling, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Because he didn't want to die. And I share that with you this morning because that is our hope as God's hands in this world, is that yes, we all know someone who struggled with the things of life and death. Most of us at one time in our lives have even perhaps a fleeting thought of, I could. It's that bad, I could. And so I share Kevin Hines' story and the stories of these survivors because that helps us know, yeah, life is bad for you. Let's rediscover that hope that you might have. A hope in a future. When I was talking with Loretta before, what did she say also helped her through her battles?
Faith.
Faith. Right? Faith. God is good.
All the time.
So as God's hands in this world, oftentimes it takes a little bit of courage and a little bit of confidence to see someone struggling and then to take that moment to say, hey, I'm concerned, I don't know what's going on. And sometimes that rescue in the river is simply with these basic I messages and your willingness to notice and say, I'm here, I care, I'll listen. I'm not sure what to do next, but I'll help. Because this is what we also know about people who are considering suicide, is that in that critical moment, if you or I or us can see them in their struggle and we can just simply be present with them, that suicidal impulsivity or that suicidal crisis can pass within hours. You don't need to be a PhD psychologist to do that. We all can do that. As Christians, we call that compassion. I'm not sure what to do. How many of us have sat with people who are struggling with cancer and said, I'm not sure what I can do for you. And that person says, just sit with me. I'm glad you're visiting today. It's the same thing with someone struggling with matters of life and death. So here's my commercial, because you knew it was coming. Some of you have taken some classes. One is called QPR. That's question, persuade, and refer. Like CPR, basic steps that any of us can learn to ask a question. And that's really the biggest and hardest nugget, isn't it? When we see someone struggling. Having that courage and confidence to say, gosh, is it so bad that you're thinking about killing yourself? Does life feel so painful that you're contemplating suicide? Probably the hardest question we could think of ever asking someone else. But I also know this, and I'm not a mental health professional, as you all know, but I also know this through years of doing this work, that 99.99% of the time, if you're that concerned about a friend or a family member or someone that you know, a colleague or a coworker, and that thing, that heart of compassion starts bubbling up in you to that point of, I need to ask, you're going to be right. That they are. And then you have your oh poop moment and say, what do I do now? That's where QPR comes in. That's where knowing what your resources in your community come in. Right? And so I've asked Bill and Colleen, our ushers, because not all of you can take 2 hours to take a QPR class. We also do another training. Bill and Colleen are going to hand out a little resource. I'm hoping most of you, if not all of you, are familiar with this resource. It's the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. Currently, that lifeline number is 1-800-273-8255. So now I need to ask a question, and I'll try not to be really sarcastic about this. But, Ann, Gilbert?
Yes, sir.
If fire broke out in your house, what number would you call?
I don't know.
911?
I guess.
911 for emergency, right? Yeah. Right? Or
fire department number.
Right? Or, if in the middle of the night, Jan, suddenly you and Wayne hear someone breaking into your house, what are you going to do besides shoot them? You were going to arm yourself.
I'd probably call 911.
Call 911. So in case of emergency, call
911.
And just, you know, quickly, that would be the case should you ever come across someone who is imminently suicidal and they've said, yes, I am thinking about killing myself. Here's how and here's when. Leave me alone. I'm going. That's also when you call 911. And you say to dispatch, hey, I was just talking to my friend. I'm going to try not to use someone's name here. Tim. I'm safe. I was just talking to my friend Tim, and this is what he told me. He's in this vehicle. Because how many of you would rather have Tim alive? Pastor Orwig shared a very similar story with me this morning. Have Tim alive and be... I just filtered. That was pretty good. And be ticked off at you than the alternative. So dial 911 in case of emergency. So 1-800-273-8255. Do you all have that memorized? Probably not. It's on that card, however. Here's the really good news. A lot of folks over the last couple of years have worked nationally to change that number to kind of like 911. Eventually, it's going to be 988. The next time you see Senator Barrasso, thank him for his advocacy in Washington, D.C. to make that happen. Because we can, even I can remember 988, right? Instead of 1-800-273-8255. Easier to dial, okay? So take a look at that card, and you all can read, right? So if you open it up, you can see some of the warning signs. And what I would say about those warning signs is this, as you look at those or when you look at them later, I'm going to make it really simple because, you know, I'm a pretty simple guy. When you notice and when your concern is, there's just something not right about my friend John. There's just, he's not his usual self. I wonder what's bugging him. I wonder what's bothering him. Because he's not his usual jovial self. And then you look at some of these other signs or symptoms and you maybe say, gosh, Nancy, have you noticed this about John? This is where it's okay to talk about someone behind their backs. Okay? Hey, we have this friend. They're our mutual friend. I've noticed they're kind of isolated and withdrawn lately. That's really not like them. Have you noticed the same thing? Yeah, they really aren't coming out as often. Or they're not coming to Bridge Club. That's not like them. Or I haven't seen them in church for a while. Now, all of those things don't mean necessarily that someone is suicidal, do they? It might mean they're on vacation because we haven't seen them in church. But when you notice that someone just isn't the person that you usually know them to be, that's your heart of compassion saying, I need to reach out. God's hands in this world. And just see. Just see. My friends, our God is strong. And our God is strong to save. Our God promises to rescue and deliver all of us who fear, love, and trust in Him. St. Paul in Romans 5 declares this good news to us. I love this simple verse. When the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman. Anybody else born of a woman in here? This is where Luther says we're little Christs, right? Born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons and daughters. Jesus came to keep the law for us and to suffer and die on the cross for all of our sins. Jesus came to rescue us from sin, death, and the power of the devil, to release us to live freely as His forgiven sons and daughters and heirs of eternal life in heaven. We are baptized and blessed by the Spirit of God to be the hands of God in our world today, reaching out confidently and boldly to those who might be struggling with things of life. Filled with peace and hope, we can seek to live new lives in thanksgiving to God. We are reconciled because of Jesus and His blood. We are reconciled because of Jesus' ultimate rescue. That's the good news. But I'm not that much of a Pollyanna. Maybe I am. To believe that that's really as easy as it gets. Because here's the other thing that we know. We Christians and our faith sometimes is not as strong as we like it to be. Is that fair? It's fair for me. And so this morning there may be some of us thinking, all this good news of God's great rescue really doesn't apply to me. I've been too sinful. I've been too hateful. I've been too evil, too defiant, too cruel. I'm unworthy. I'm unlovable. God wouldn't rescue me. Or maybe there are those of us who have thought this thought. I don't care. God's abandoned me. He can't see me in this pit of despair that I am in. Why would He allow me to endure all of this hurt and all of this pain and this loneliness and this anguish and this desperation? Why would He allow me to go through this hell on earth? I'm hopeless. I'm helpless. Some of us have felt that. I felt that. But this morning I'm here to tell you that those are all lies. Satan uses fear, and he is a liar. Satan is the great deceiver, and he lies to us through depression and through other mental health, I believe. that we're beyond God's grace. We're beyond God's mercy. There's no hope, there's no help, there's no future, and there's no life. I could, but nothing could truly be further from the truth. God's grace applies to each of us today, to me and to you. He rescues us unconditionally. Isn't that the great part about grace? Unconditionally, he offers us his love and his forgiveness. So rejoice, people of God. I'm speaking to myself as well. Rejoice, people of God, as our gospel proclaims this morning, your names are written in heaven. That's God's intent for our lives. We have a hope and a future. Jesus, our Savior, our Rescuer, loves us, forgives us, hears our prayers, hears our moanings and groanings in that pit of despair. And he feeds us, and he feeds our faith through his word and through the sacraments that we'll receive this morning. As baptized and blessed children of God, may each of us be grace-filled with compassion to courageously and confidently reach out to those around us who are struggling, maybe even struggling to the point of suicide, and simply say, I'm here. I care. I'll listen. May God grant us grace in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand and sing the hymn 787, I Will Lift You Up on Eagle's Wings.
God's given a command to guide you in all of your ways. Upon their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your feet against the stone. And he will raise you up on eagle's wings.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He ascended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Sustained and nurtured by our generous God, we gather as one to pray for the Church, the world, and all of God's creation. Are there people you'd like to add in our prayers today?
Esther.
Vicki.
Sarah.
Bob and Karen. Watch over the Church, O God, so that we place your good news above all worldly gain. Deliver us from the temptations of comfort and complacency. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Watch over your creation, especially the life-giving water that sustains us. Heal oceans, rivers, and lakes around the world, where drought and floods make turmoil of our settled ways. Give strength for healing and rebuilding in affected communities. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Watch over the nations. Lead us away from fear and hatred. Show us instead how to welcome the stranger, give shelter to those fleeing violence, and provide food to those who are impoverished. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Watch over those in any need. Have mercy on those who are grieving, suffering, lost, lonely, oppressed, underemployed, and imprisoned. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Watch over all caregivers. Give strength to those who attend to relatives, serve the sick, minister to prisoners, and bring food or communion to the household homebound. Give a special measure of grace and strength to Bill Hawley and those who work with him to prevent suicide. We pray for those who are in need of physical, mental, and spiritual healing this day. We pray especially for Esther, Vicki, Sarah, Bob, and Karen, and those we name in our hearts. May they bring joy to those who visit and those who visit them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give you thanks for the saints and their models of faithful living, including Michael and all angels, whose ministries the Church celebrates today. Give us hope as we look toward the day when we will join them in your eternal presence. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
I have one more petition that I would like to offer, but I'd like to ask Michael and Laura to come forward. They've been with us this summer and have added to our ministry greatly, so we'd like to include them in our prayers today.
Thank you.
Please join me in praying for them. Eternal God, we thank you for Michael and Laura and for their contribution to our life together in this congregation and community. As they have been a blessing to us, so now send them forth to be a blessing to others through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Assured by your promise to hear us, we lay our prayers before your throne of grace through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us share that peace.
Yeah.
Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Holy God, mighty Lord, gracious Father, endless is your mercy and eternal your reign. You have filled all creation with light and life. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. We praise you for the grace shown to your people in every age. The night he was betrayed, our Lord, broke the bread and blessed it then, and said, "This is my body given for you." And he took the cup and raised it high and said, "My blood is shed for you, forgiven, remember me." Oh, hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. You may be seated.
Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us.
Thank you. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ in his precious blood strengthen and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. When your mercy strengthen us through this gift, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Let's sing the first two verses of Jesus Shall Reign. Downstairs, Sue will flip on the machine and show you some slides.